13, heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I've got four things that I'd like to point out in these verses to you this morning that everyone here today needs to think about, or at the very least be reminded of. First of all, the days before. In Mark 13, verse 24, he says, but in those days after that tribulation, there was a day of tribulation. Tribulation simply means trouble. Doesn't mean a time or a dispensation. It just means trouble. That's what the word means. And last week, we were told about the abomination of desolation standing in a place where it ought not. This is that tribulation or trouble of which our text is speaking. We're living in a wicked time. A wicked time. Evil days. The things of God are just commonly spoken of. Just used in common everyday language. Just as common as talking about the weather. Or talking about, heard you went fishing this week. How many did you catch? That's the way they talk about God and the things of God. Just as common as politics. Or what's for supper? When I say common, that's what I'm talking about. Just common, no thought, no fear, no reverence, no contemplation that these words, these things are coming from God. And all sense of reverence or fear of God is absent from our society as a whole. Very little gospel being preached in our day. Very little. When you talk about the spiritual death of man and the necessity of regeneration, the necessity of hearing the gospel, the person and work of Christ, or the torments of eternal hell, you talk to men and women about that, and all they do is go shrug their shoulders or say, or nod. Yeah. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about your soul. It has no effect on men and women at all. And actually, preachers today are like the two dead messengers that God speaks of in Revelation 11 and Zechariah 4. They lay in the earth as dead men, and people just walk around them. Here's a guy laying dead in the street. This is how he's describing his ministry. And people are walking down the road and they just walk around. Just keep going. No effect. There's no gospel being preached. This man has been silenced by the providence of God. And men think nothing of it. Nothing of it. Now, the Apostle Paul, some 2,000 years ago, he wrote these words to the churches. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's what our Lord's talking about. There's going to be a falling away. This is going to happen first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is not talking about Damien of Hollywood concept. This is not talking about an incarnation of Satan. This is talking about an attitude, a principle, a spirit. It's talking about a teaching, talking about a concept. And it can be in a man. That's why you may hear some grace preacher talk about the Pope and call him Antichrist. He is Antichrist. He is Antichrist. He's contrary to Christ. That's what Antichrist is. That's what the Spirit is. Except, and also the congregations who support such men, who listen to such stuff, who go home rejoicing in their lives. That's Antichrist. Now the Lord said in this day of falling away, this is what's going to constitute that falling away. It's going to be a time when Antichrist is everywhere. It's as common as toads, mosquitoes, birds. They're everywhere. Well, how is he sitting in the temple of God? Well, a man stands up here and he starts talking about your free will. Nobody has a free will but God. Is that right? He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or question what he does. But we can question what you do. And God can put a stop to what you will to do. You can't even will a common cold away, let alone the counsel of God. And he opposeth and exalteth himself. He stands up and talks about his decisions making God's work acceptable. His decisions making God's work effectual. This is a spiritual influence in men, and it's in both individuals and congregations. And that's what I see all around us today. This is him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, or who are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. These are days of moral degradation. That word means the process of being degraded. It means a transition from a higher standard to a lower level. Maybe even a compromise. Maybe even some imagined place where wickedness and holiness can be friends. But those days, he said, shall be shortened for the elect's sake. These are the days before. When he says after those days, that's the days he's talking about. And then secondly, I want us to think about the days after. And those days after this day of trouble, this tribulation, after those days of apostasy and spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank God he's determined an end to it. He said, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Nobody would be saved. That's how deceitful Satan is. That's how powerful Antichrist religion is. Earlier on in 2 Thessalonians, he said, only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Were it not for the restraining hand of God and some gospel preaching in this world, I'd hate to think what would happen. Thank God he's determined an end to those days. It's not here yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And this is what our Lord's telling his disciples early, even before he died on the cross, he's telling them. It's coming. And under the burden of the gospel and the glory of our God in Christ, we struggle to live in this society. If we dare take a stand for the truth, we make ourselves social outcasts. You try preaching what I'm preaching to you. You try witnessing that to anybody. Go into a store. Go into a crowd. Go into the mall. Go among your friends. You can just about say anything you want to say and they won't say a word. But you say this, you're going to be a social outcast. They'll spread that all over Texarkana. If we dare take a stand on the sovereign grace of God and salvation, society will quarantine us. Scared to death somebody else is going to catch whatever it is we have. And our unbelieving children and family members, they'll go as far as they can to avoid us. And they'll use any interaction that they have with us to try to convince us that we followed some kind of a cult. I'm telling you the truth. But it's almost over. Now, our Lord could have said, he said that 2,000 years before today. And he's telling them, it's almost over. There's a sweet promise here of these days coming to the close. After that tribulation, after that troubled time, after those days, our Lord said, such as was not from the beginning of creation. Unparalleled days, days like no other days. But let me say this. These are days of great grace. Great grace. Oh, my soul. The grace of God. Even in these times where Antichrist religion is so powerful and gospel preaching is so small, the influence of it is so small, so few men in our day preaching the grace of God, and yet God saves sinners. That's great grace. He tells us, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. In the book of Revelations, John sees a vision. And the elders cried out and they said, what are these? What are these gathered around our Lord in these white garments? What are these? Revelation 7. What are these arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So as Paul recognized of Israel, so we recognize in these days there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. So after these days, he says, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, I don't know if it's been quite a few years since our Genesis study, but the sun is a picture of Christ. You know, and Peter, you just keep on reading the Word of God. You keep right on listening to that minister preach Christ to you until the day star arise. He's talking about the sun. But in that particular verse, he's talking about the Son of God. But he likens him up to the sun coming up, till the day star, till light dawns in your heart. It's a picture of Christ. David said in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 19, but he said, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. In all the universe, he has set a tabernacle, all the universe, he used that as a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chambers. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. So the sun shall be darkened. No more merciful, gracious Christ in those days. The sun shall be darkened. No more light of grace and mercy in him. No more warmth or peace or comfort. The sun shall be darkened, and then the moon. This is the church. The moon has no light of its own. It revolves around the sun. And it gets its light from the sun. And it shines that light on us. And it shines it where? In the darkness. In the darkness. This is a picture of the church. And then he said, the stars from heaven shall fall. And Revelation 1:20 tells us that these stars are a picture of his pastors, the pastors of his churches. They're set there to give light in the darkness and to give direction and be a guide to men. When Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger, what led those shepherds to Bethlehem? A star. Isn't that right? They're set to give direction, to guide men to Christ. So what's he saying here? He's saying after those days, no more gospel. The hearing of the gospel's over. The Lord said, I stretched out my arms to you, but you didn't regard me. You didn't regard me at all. How did he stretch forth his arm? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. But after those days, there's no more gospel, no more churches, no more pastor teachers to watch for your souls, no more day star rising in the hearts of men, no more calling by his gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the days after. All right, thirdly, he says in verses 26 and 27, he begins both verses the same way. And then what? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He's not coming as their substitute. He's not coming as their representative. He's not coming as their mediator. He's coming as the Lord of glory, and he's coming in judgment. Every eye is going to see him. Great power and the glory of his holiness and justice. Then, in another place it said, shall you look on him whom you have pierced. Then shall they cry, he said, for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the what? The Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Verse 27, Mark 13. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. I want you to think about something. Not a drop of rain fell on the antediluvian world. It had never rained, ever. And not one drop of rain after 120 years of preaching. Not one drop of rain fell on the antediluvian world until Noah and his house was sealed in that ark. When that happened, the rain came. Not an ember fell on Sodom until Lot and his daughters were safely tucked away underground. and not a spark is going to be kindled until all God's elect have been gathered to the Savior. That's what he's telling them. The first thing going to happen. There's seven events that must take place after those days of tribulation. This is something Don wrote in an article years ago. The first thing, and I'm like him, I wouldn't argue with you over the order of this. I'm just telling you these seven things are happening. And if you study the scriptures, it seems like this is the order. He'll appear in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he's going to raise up all the bodies of his sleeping saints. The dead in Christ, he said, shall rise first. Then those who are living believers at his coming shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That's what the scriptures say. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. And then fourthly, he's going to destroy this present creation, and he's going to wipe away all the serpent slime. He's going to disintegrate this place. So don't put too much stock in it. He's going to wipe it out. It ain't even going to exist. The elements, Peter said, are going to melt with a fervent heat. And then we're going to come with him, and he's going to make all things new. New heavens and a new earth. And we're going to come with him. When he first comes, he's not just going to come down and start walking on the earth. He ain't going to put his feet on this polluted ball one more time until he makes all things new. And when he makes all things new, we're going to come with him. And we're going to stand on this new earth. And we're going to sit with him as he judges this world, this unbelieving world. That's what Paul said. Know you not, you should judge the world. You can't even make a decision in the house of God over some simple little thing. You can't even. Don't you know you're going to judge angels? We're going to sit with him when he judges those unbelieving angels. And then lastly, at the end of these things, we shall truly be partakers of eternal life with Christ forever. All right, here's the fourth and final thing. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, I struggle up here from week to week to show you. I could very easily just get a book of doctrine and sit down and give you an outline and just throw it at you and let you figure it out. What preachers are up here to do is to show you that this is the message of God's book. I don't have an eternal counsel. Only God has one. I don't have an agenda. I'm up here to serve him. And to serve him, I have to teach you according to this book. If what I'm saying is not in this book, if you can't see it in this book, you come and talk to me. And at the end of time when I've talked to you, if you still can't see it in this book, don't you believe it. This is the Word of God. This is what God teaches. And if I can't show you that, I'm just up here spinning my wheels. It's important to me as your pastor that you see what I'm saying and that it's in the Word of God. Let God be true, Paul said, and every man a liar. God's without question to be believed. He's light, John said. In him is no darkness at all. And his character absolutely forbids him to lie. Christ said, I am. Now, if you go back in the book of Exodus, I showed you this when I was back there. Moses said, when I go down there and face Pharaoh, who am I going to tell him sent me? He said, you tell him I am sent you. I am? Yeah, I am that I am. And then he goes on in the scriptures and he uses that word I am And in the book of John, where John's trying to show us that Christ was the Son of God, how many times did he say, I am? I am the manna that God sent down from heaven, the true manna. I am the way, the truth, the life. Huh? And he tells us, I am the truth. Did you know that another name for the Son of God is the Word? The very first words in the book of John, when he wrote his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. He's the Word. There is no Word from God except Christ. We can trust what he tells us. What he says should be an end to all argument, all strife. But here he's talking about the end of all things and the destruction of the universe and the eternal destiny of our souls. And he says to us, all of these things that I've told you about are going to pass away. But my word not going to pass away. What I'm showing you here this morning not going to change. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to melt away. It's not going to be taken from you. He said, my word will not pass away. You can build your hopes on the word of God. Because judgment's coming. And more fierce than that, the Lord's coming. All right, thank you.